Father, we ask that you draw us close to yourself, where fear cannot be found. Draw us closer to yourself, where need does not exist. We worship you, we honor you, we adore you. Let this morning become a defining moment for somebody. And let someone not live here the same way they have come. Blessed be your name, Lord. Give us revival. Give us fresh fire. Give us fresh passion. Give someone a fresh encounter. Like what you did with Reginald and his family. We worship you. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Blessed be your name. We worship you in Jesus' name. I welcome everyone here again this morning. All those who are here live, those connected from all around the world. It's our month of dedication. And we are looking at the art of soul winning part 2. We started this subject on Wednesday midweek service. And so for the sake of the multitudes of people who we're not in the midweek service or don't normally attend, we'll just recap it a little bit so that you can follow up with us. We looked at the objective on that day as understanding keys to effective and productive soul winning. Our text was Mark chapter 16, verse 15, all the way to verse 20, where the Bible said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Verse 20 said, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. And so we looked at that scripture and we realized that soul winning is an act. We have the command, we have the mandate of soul winning from our Master Jesus as his departing words. Before he left, that was the final thing he told us. Secondly, we saw that we have the commandment of soul winning as the major purpose of our being saved by God. We saw that. And thirdly, we saw that scriptures made it clear that soul winning is the heartbeat of our Father. That being the case, we began to look at what are the, many people want to win souls, but they don't know how to go about it. What do we do to be effective? That was where the cross of the message was. And so we said, number one, the approach number one is through the display of love and friendliness. Many Christians are so hostile to the unbelieving world and even hostile to themselves. So it becomes very difficult for people to take us seriously. We said on that day that it's possible to hate the sin and love the sinner. But that our challenge is that we hate both the sin and the sinner. We said this one is going to hell, so we don't have any time for them. The display of love. The display of friendliness. Number two, we saw that through the display of godly character. You have heard they said action speaks louder than words. Someone has said that your action is speaking so loud I can't even hear your voice. Many times what we are telling them to do is different from how we live. So they can't hear us. The soul winning is made easy through the display of godly character. We saw that on Wednesday. Number three is through the possession of divine presence. That you have lived with God. You have communed with God. You have fellowshiped with God to the point where people see you and they feel God. They encounter you. They encounter the presence of God. Something about your life convicts them of sin. We looked at that. The possession of divine presence. We said that you can live in such a way where people look at you and they are reminded about God. They are reminded of God. Something about you reminds them about God. Number four, we talk about true sharing our testimonies and encounters with others. That was what happened when Andrew met Jesus. He told his brother Peter, come and see a man. We have seen the Messiah. The encounters, the testimonies, and the things that changed our lives. It's very, very easy. Even if it is such that you were afraid of death before, you didn't know where you were going in the afterlife, and now you know it is something to share with somebody. The uncertainty of the world we live in is something to share with somebody. And then, number five, we talked about true drawing the attention of others to the purpose of God, to the purpose of man's life in the earth. Many people don't know the purpose why we are alive. They don't know that God created us, so we have to live for God. They don't know that we cannot live for ourselves since we did not create ourselves. Through drawing the attention of others to the purpose of man's life in the earth. That was where we stopped on Wednesday. We're going to look at four more, but I'll look at two in this service and then two in the next service. And then proceed further to look at enemies of soul winning. The things that hinder people from winning souls. Now, so what is the sixth tool for the winning of souls? Number six is through sharing the good news of God's love and salvation plan with others. The good news of God's love and God's salvation plan with others. All that most people think about and know of is that God is a God of judgment. They do not know God as a God of love. John chapter 3 and in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The God of love. In the course of raising of children, it has been discovered that motivation towards reward was more impactful than the threat of punishment. We learned that when we're doing the accelerated Christian education curriculum, which is part of what is incorporated in all that we do today. Many people only know one side. We're going to get to that. But knowing the God of love, knowing that God has a plan, his major plan is not trying to, is not how many people he can send to hell, but how many he can rescue. That is important for people to know. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 32, the Bible said, God loves us so much that he spared not his son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't hold back his son. He gave his son up for us. That is why one of the greatest sins that people will commit is not that they drank and smoked, is that they rejected the free offer of God, the free gift. I sent my son to die, to rescue you from your sin, to deliver you from your destruction, and yet you rejected the offer. God loves us so much, he decided to send his son to rescue us from sin and from the consequences of sin. This is important for people to know. In Acts chapter 26 verse 22, Paul the apostle said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses said should come. I witness by the help of God, communicating to the people the blessing, the goodness of God. When they came to him, to Jesus, the disciples of John, say, are you the one to come? John said to ask you, are you the one to come? Or are we to expect another? He said, go tell John. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and to the poor the gospel is preached. It is important to know that what we preach is gospel. The word gospel means good news. And so, one of the greatest tools of our evangelism is good news. Good news. To the poor, the gospel is preached. Good news. The good news is you don't have to live the way you are living. The good news is God has come to change your life. The good news is there is hope in the afterlife. The good news is God has got you covered. It's very, very important. And so, it is true sharing with others the good news of God's love and salvation. Number 7, it is true draw. Now, this number 7 is very important. It's the other side of number 6. It's true. How do we, what approach do we use to be effective? It is true drawing the attention of others to the reality of eternity. We draw the attention of people. If we are going to be effective soul winners, we have to draw the attention of people to the reality of eternity. We have to let people know that life does not end on the earth. We have to let people know that after this life, there is another life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 7, the Bible said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Every man's dust will return back to dust. All of us dress very, very fancifully today. You know, in the university in those days, I used to be very, very rugged in terms of how I looked at things. My friend and I, when we are going to have a bath, he said, I want to go and water the dust. Do you understand? I want to just go and water the dust. That was how we looked at things. That if you are dressed in beautiful dresses, decorated dust. If you are dark complexion is dark dust. If your light complexion is light dust. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are very wealthy, you are rich dust. Am I communicating? That's what the Bible said. Dust will return back to dust. And my greatest challenge is that the thing that wants to take people to hell will be in the dust. And then the spirit and the soul will be in the torment. It's very, very important for people to know. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the same Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 14, look at what the scripture says. Say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Many people are not aware of this, that God shall bring everything into judgment. The person you lied against, the figures you falsified, all the things you did crookedly and secretly, you will bring everything into judgment. Many are not aware of this. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, it's not a matter of whether it was good or bad. It's the fact that all will come under scrutiny. Very, very important. That was why he said in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this is the judgment. Death is once. I preached a message titled The Inevitable Appointment and Inescapable Judgment. The appointment must hold, and the judgment is before a judge that cannot be bribed, that cannot be compromised. So it's important for people's attention to be to say, when we think of eternity, it imparts caution to our life in the earth. Am I communicating? This was the revelation that changed Dr. Maurice Cerullo's life. He was a young man in the orphanage, Jewish orphanage, at the age of about 16. And he saw a vision. He saw a vision. A long line of people. And they were all dancing, jubilating, rejoicing, laughing, happy. And all trooping in a straight line. But unknown to them, there was a big gulf in the front. And he said that what God showed him is, he showed him the end of life. The end of everyone's life. They were all moving and laughing and rejoicing and jubilating until they came to the end of a cliff. And realized that at that end is a deep hole. And that deep hole was fire burning with people crying. He said that by the time they reached the end of the cliff, it was difficult to reverse. They were just dropped into it, and some were pulling their hair as they suddenly realized that they came to an end and they could not reverse. He said what touched him was that they were not aware that such a thing was in front of them. They thought that life, and that is what the devil does. He makes people feel like everything ends in this world. The Bible said in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage and being merry until suddenly the flood came and they realized life just ended. That is how the devil deceives our world today. Where some will tell you there's nothing like heaven or hell. There's nothing like God. Just live the way you want. And then suddenly they came to the end of the cliff. I realized that they have come to a place of no return. They can't reverse. They can't repent. they just dropped straight into that flame, pulling their hair. When Maurice Cirillo came out of that vision, he was changed forever. That vision drove him to hundreds of nations on the earth to preach the gospel. Am I communicating at all? One man who said he was an atheist. There's no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. I believe it was Lord Byron. By the time he was dying, the nurse who stood by his deathbed says she would never like to watch an atheist die, because he saw the man saw hell while he was still alive and was stepping in and was screaming. He said, "The flames of hell are mine alone." The atheist said it with his mouth before he breathed his last. The nurse said, "I wouldn't like to watch an atheist die," because he was contorted with pain. There was an atheist who said, I need to know his name. Is it Geneva that has the World Bible Society, the headquarters where they print the Bible? And that man said that the Bible is nothing but a piece of antiquated literature. He said, give the Bible 50 years and you won't find it anywhere in the world, except in some dusty museums where it will be there like an antiquity. When that man died and he saw himself going to hell, the same, just Voltaire, V-O-L-T-A-I-R, that was his name. When that man died, 50 years after he passed, the place where he said, from his house, where he said the Bible will, you can't find the Bible anywhere except in some museum. 50 years after he died, his house became the headquarters for printing Bible. From the same location until today, till tomorrow, till eternity, the Bible is the number one bestseller of any book. It has never been replaced. Billions printed yearly. The sale of Bible last year multiplied in the United Kingdom. It multiplied in the UK. We had a glory conference and somebody were telling me that when we came last year, we were talking about revival and so forth, and that there was a surge in Bible production and Bible sales. That is what it is, beloved brothers and sisters. I see God doing so. So we need to draw people's attention. The devil want to, you see, when we went to, especially among the youth, to draw their attention. When we went to 100 years, that was Voltaire. 100 years from my day, there will be not a Bible in the earth, except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. That's the man who said that the Bible will be in the dusty museum by the time he died. Only, he said 100 years from his time, but only 50 years, his house became the printing press for Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? But people need to know that there is an eternal hell and there is an eternal hell. We need to let, especially the youth. It was in, we went to France and what do they call this place that they used to do amusement park? Disneyland. There was a Disney somewhere. And we stepped in there and went, just passed by. And the devil made, I think that one was for a particular purpose. I told Dr. Miss Enenche, I said, the devil is making the earth look as if it is heaven. So that in the mind of people is, if the earth is like this, where is heaven? I just heard that there is a gold street in Dubai. A street made of gold. Okay, if there is a street made of gold on the earth, what are we talking about heaven? The devil is trying to make things, engage people with gadgets, internet, Facebook, all manner. Just engage people with technology until the time of the end when they see that gully and they want to pull their head off. But it was too late. Let's make people know Let's just draw their consciousness. And by the time we are able to do that, the Holy Ghost will take it from there and let the people know, you know what this person is saying to you is correct. There is an end to life. There is a place of judgment that everybody must appear. We must draw the attention of people to the reality of eternity. That is where we'll stop in this service. But in the next service, we shall be looking at two more. And that is, through the display of God's mercy and power to relieve the afflictions of the people. We do this to rescue people to God. The display of mercy, the mercy of God, and the power of God to rescue the afflictions of people. There are many people distracted by affliction and they are unable to come to God. We display the affliction. We display the power of God. We'll look into that in detail. And finally, what we'll be looking at in the second service is through sharing with others the benefits of living for God as against living for the devil. We share with people the benefits of living for God as against living for the devil. We'll look at that in the second service. But in conclusion, this morning, if we have seen the approach of soul winning, what can be the hindrances to the lifestyle of soul winning? Number one is the lack of full understanding of the purpose of our existence in the earth. What will make a child of God not win souls? What will make a child of God not win souls? It is due to the lack of a full understanding of the purpose of our existence. Isaiah 43:21, the Bible said, "These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." I formed them for myself. That is, I don't own my life. I must show forth the praise of God in the civil service office. I must show forth the praise of God in the judiciary where I work. I must show forth the praise of God in the hospital where I work. I must show forth the praise of God in the military where I work. I must show forth, I must live for God there. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor and power. You created all things, for your pleasure they are and were created. You created all things. That is, my life is for your purpose. My life is for your pleasure. My life is to do as you will. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. The Bible said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, when we went to the university as Christian medical students, I was the president of the Fellowship of Christian Medical Students in my university. Then I became the president of the Christian Medical Students in the nation. All the students of medicine, when I went to school, in all universities in Nigeria. I was their president. So what I'm doing now, I did it as a student. So I went on missionary preachings, University of Lagos, University of Ibadan, University of Ilorin, ABU Zaria, University of Maiduguri, University of Calabar, University of Ife, University of Ogun State University, Agoiwoye, just travel around and ministering from campus to campus, setting students on fire. It's been there. At that time, as medical students, our theme was ministering to the total man. That is, you are not a pastor. You are just a professional. That when you become a doctor, your ministry is not just to treat people's body. You will treat their body. You will attend to their soul for those who are under pressure and depressed. You will attend to their spirit. We determined that we will not treat the body and let the spirit go to hell. We call it ministering to the total man. That was our orientation. That was why God placed us in that field as Christians. Or that is why we are serving God there. And we did that. So if I was on the consultation table and somebody came with liver cirrhosis and I took a social history and I realized he's a smoker and a drunkard, I'm not just going to address the liver disease. I am going to address the alcoholism, address the smoking. If somebody comes with a sexually transmitted disease and I realize the lifestyle that led to that, I am going to address that lifestyle. Do you understand? That was how we functioned. We led many people to Christ on the consultation table because we realized that we are not just there in the practice just to treat people physically. We are living for God on that assignment. Am I communicating at all? You are a police officer. You come face to face with hardened criminals. You are a prison officer. You come face to face with convicted criminals. You are on assignment there for God. Not just to apply the law of the land, but to connect them with the mercy of God from heaven. And to let them, and to ensure that they are coming into contact with you changes their eternal destination. Even if they sentence him to death and he dies eventually, then you know that he's dying and going to heaven because they encountered you. Am I communicating? Many people do not understand the reason why they are alive. So the only reason they go to work is to receive salary at the end. Not realizing that their job is their ministry as well. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here at all. Am I too spiritual for you? Is it too high for you? This is the kind of stuff that made ancient Christians very, very rugged. They didn't need to become pastors to impact their generation. They didn't need to go to theological school to impact their generation. Everywhere they were, they impacted the lives of the people. They touched people's lives and changed destinies. If only we will understand the reason and the purpose why we are alive, we will not live as we were, as we want. The lack of full understanding. So let it be clear to you today that whatever you do, wherever you are, you don't live for yourself. You don't live to yourself. You live for the purpose of the one who created you. You live for the purpose of the one who placed you there. It's the lack of understanding of the purpose of our existence in the earth. Number two hindrance is the allowance of fear and the absence of boldness. When people allow fear and lack boldness, they don't talk to others about their souls. The allowance of fear and the absence of boldness. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7, the Bible said, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So love. The
The Bible says perfect love casteth away fear. So when you love people and you don't want to go to hell, the love you have for them will override the fear of being rejected if you talk to them. The love you have for God and the love you have for people will override any fear of being rejected or any fear of not doing it right. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and verse 31. The apostles were praying and saying, now, O Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. And they prayed. And in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. This is the boldness that someone needs. Asking the Holy Ghost, from this day forward, I cannot say I am timid. I cannot say I can't talk to God about, I talk to people about their souls. I need the boldness. I won't allow fear to rob me of my assignment for God. And I will not allow fear to make people walk past me and go to hell.
Dr. Miss Emenche, when we travel, she's just so rugged in terms of that regard. And at times I'm wondering, just look at somebody, matured man, with must say, are you born again? At times I say, take it easy, just go gently. Just start a discussion or something. Say, I want to lead you to Christ. You need to be born again. She doesn't even mind her size, no matter how tall you are. You understand? That started from university days. She would stand with her tiny size and one kind skirt that I don't understand. Do you remember? Say A-line. Just stand in front of a host and say, Jesus love you. Stand inside the bus. I am here to tell you, just tiny girl. Girl finished university at age 22, right? 21 going to 22. So you can imagine year 3, year 4, preaching inside a bus, preaching to people. That, with that boldness since then. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is what I believe that God is calling us onto. The eternity of people is too much at risk to allow any useless fear. And let them reject you. God bears you witness you have done your part. Let people laugh at you. But you will laugh at the end. Let them mock at you. But God, as they are mocking you, God is making you. It's a new day for somebody. Yes, according to her theories, they might never see you again. And for some of us, you are the last person that person may meet before he dies. Yes, you may be the last person that person may see before they die. So let it be on record that you tried your best to rescue them before they died. You may be. That was what we did. And as a matter of fact, I think some of us should begin to do some deliberate evangelism right now. Where you go to the hospital and you tell the nurse, please show me any patient that is terminal. Anyone that it looks like the drug may not help, the medicine may not, just show me any patient. And they might show you, look at that one is stage 5, so and so. This one is stage this and that. It's okay. And all right. This, I want to talk to this person. And one man, elderly man, he was the father of my classmate then in the university. He was in his 70s going towards 80s then. This man sent for me. He said, come, call that my son. His son was my classmate. But he knew I was on fire. He sent for me I rushed to him at the general hospital. He says, my son, talk to me. Pray with me. I preached the gospel to him, led him to Christ. And he did. Thank you. It didn't last another 24 hours. It didn't last another 24 hours. The next thing I heard before tomorrow morning, he has passed. I say, Father, thank you. Thank you because I was the last bus stop. He met me last. And his destination changed. He changed from hell to heaven. That is what God. So you will not allow fear or allow intimidation or allow anything to deter you. Let it be on record that you tried your best. Not even confrontational. Can I talk with you about your soul? You know, life is terminal. Everyone you see today will pass on one day. And I want to help you. I want to pray with you. Simply, neatly, without force or confrontation. And I would like you to pray this prayer in agreement with me. And God knows you have done your best. You won't allow fear. You won't allow timidity. You won't allow lack of boldness to prevent you from helping somebody and changing their eternal destiny at the end of their journey. When I meet somebody, they say it's terminally sick. The first thing I want to do is to lead them to Christ. At times when I do it, some of the relations begin to cry. Hey, this one is leading you to Christ. I mean, he won't leave. I say, oh no. Whether it's not, that is not an issue. Even there are sins that must be forgiven before people can be healed. Do you understand? Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, then healeth all thy diseases. Do you understand? So that is a process. You know, so please take your seat. We need to do that and not allow the hindrance, not allow fear and the absence of boldness to stop us. Because like I said, that person you may see, you are seeing now, you may not see them again forever. And finally, and I'll say two more in the next service, but let me mention the two of them, and then when we come, I'll talk about it. And that is, thirdly, the lack of understanding of the purpose of our salvation and redemption. The reason why we were saved. When people don't understand it, they won't win souls. They won't talk to people. The lack of full understanding of the purpose of our salvation and the purpose of our redemption. It will prevent people from winning souls. I will talk about that in detail in the second service. And finally, which is a very serious one, is the allowance of sin and compromise. When there is sin and compromise in the life of a person, the boldness to talk to others about their soul is not there. The allowance of sin and compromise. Again, I will talk about that in the second service. But I believe that it is a new day and it is a new season. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Last Wednesday, I gave a conclusion, and that is what I will still say today. You can pull out that conclusion that practice, perfection is the product of practice. You want to perfect yourself in the art of winning souls. Practice the art. And exercise is the precursor of excellence. That is, excellence is a product of exercise. You want to excel in anything, exercise in it. Touching lives, changing lives, make it a daily part of your schedule. On your way to work, inside a taxi. Somebody told me something very, very frightening. A young man, so much on fire in Australia, will stand up inside the plane and say, praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about your soul. In Australia, we talk of boss evangelism. They are talking, the father is in this place. They are talking of plane ever. I say, is it not against aviation law that somebody stands inside a plane and is preaching to everybody? He doesn't care. He went to a Reinhard Bonnke boot camp on evangelism. And he came out of that. He's doing that abroad, inside plane in Australia, and you cannot preach inside Tazi in Lugbe. Hey. Inside boss from Nyanya. It's a new day. Lift up your hands and say, Father. Lift your hands and say, Father, I come before you today.
Say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
Come before you today.
I receive your help.
I receive your help.
Can you stand up on your feet and let's pray for 3 minutes? And then we'll move to the next level. Lift up your right hand and say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To be planted.
To be planted.
In the art of soul winning.
In the art of soul winning.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To follow the approach.
Follow the approach.
The right approach.
The right approach.
For soul winning.
For soul winning.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, deliver me.
Father, deliver
from the lack of understanding. Of the purpose of my existence, deliver me from the spirit of fear and timidity. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and speak to God. Open your mouth and pray. Leketosa parada gahane salakeda, masha tofreteza lana retani bloroda salakaradeda. Father, I receive deliverance from the spirit of fear and timidity. I receive deliverance. Masha telo barada hagara salida. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. In Jesus' precious name.